Remember, I said to kids about asking questions, and we live in an age where everyone asks questions, right? And I think you ask more questions around Christmas time than anywhere else. Well, what should I get Aunt Nellie? What should I get? And I talk to myself, what should I get Barbara? I'm enough. Well, no, I didn't mean to say that. Don't you ask questions, though, all the time? We live in an age of questions. Why do we do da-da-da-da-da? And you're used to it now with all the political stuff that's going on and everybody's raising questions about this person or that person or what's going on and what isn't going on. And we always ask questions when some bloodshed occurs, like that horrible thing in San Bernardino. Why did that happen? And I heard somebody I was talking to, who's a Presbyterian minister, no more sense than a hole in the head. He said, wonder why God made that happen. Well, some people think that way. Right? When bad things happen, why did God make that happen? When good things happen, we just say, isn't that great? What luck? Questions. And it really fits the scripture that we're looking at this morning with John the Baptist. And remember, and I said, and Heather said, good answer. Good answers there. Wow. Because calling somebody a viper, that's terrible. It really is. When you really raise the issues that matter, what do we do? Now, that's the point, in fact, when we look at this lesson. And I was told that I needed to read the lesson outside here so people on this side of the tree can see me. Now, I'm reading Luke 3:7-18. And you'll notice if you've opened your Bibles, you'll see that that's really at the bottom of the page. I'm just taking a short portion of John the Baptist. Just a short portion. So, here we go. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers!" See, he did say it. "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into a fire." What a welcome to people who were coming to be baptized. And then it goes on with John. "What should we do then?" the crowd ask. Question. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share one with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they ask, what should we do on April 15th? Don't collect any more than you're required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Amen. I told the kids he sure didn't win any favors by telling people who were coming to be baptized and hearing the good news that they were a bunch of vipers. He wasn't really that honest, that nice, really, to tax collectors or even the soldiers. He didn't give them much hope. He didn't. And when people in the crowd were muttering that he might be the Messiah, he might be the Christ, he might be the one that we've been looking for, I think he paused for a while and he probably looked at the group and said what I read to you. Not me, but someone greater than me will come and give you something that you've never had. I added that because that's what he was doing in answering their question. Answering their question. Questions were being asked who he was, what he was doing. He wasn't Mr. Personality. He had followers. He had probably more than we know about. In fact, it's interesting, some historians look through some of the older writings that are there during that period, and they can find quotes about John the Baptizer, that's his name, rather than anything about Jesus Christ. But they know historically, here's what he was. He was frank, he was forceful, and he was giving them the way things were. You see, the folks in John's day really were convinced that the wrath of God was near. Like some people who have on bumper stickers, the end is near, or when it comes, somebody else is driving the car, I won't. Now what's going to happen when we have self-driving cars? We'll think the end is here. Anyway, the thing was, they were ready for the end to be over because, listen, if you lived under Roman rule the way they were living, things were pretty difficult. And one of the things you can always say, well, the end times are here, I can tell it. The ants are crawling backward into their hole. Huh? The clouds look different in the sky. My feet ache on Thursdays. John knew what these people were thinking, and they were talking about all of this stuff, and he seemed to be the right person, but the way he told them to become was very upsetting. Very upsetting. Had to be something different going on. John's message is hard. It's hard, it's urgent. And I'm sure, just as sure as anything, he was loud when he was proclaiming whatever he was saying to people because there was a lot to be said. The people listened to him and one would think that they were even ready to do what he urged, to share and be fair, to help people in need, to not let anyone starve, to give their cloak to someone who really has a need for it if you've got more than one. And they were saying, this makes sense. And John was going to mold them into God's strong people. And some of the people in the crowd thought, boy, oh boy, he's got what it takes. I'm for him. I'm for him 100%. And they were saying it. They were saying it. But they still weren't sure. Today, I'm not sure many of us fear final judgment on a daily basis. And I'm not even going to ask for a raise of hands. How many people really go through life saying, oh, the end day's here. Boy, I can tell it's going to be a lousy day. You don't, do you? John wanted those people to think better of themselves than they had been thinking. He wanted them to start asking the questions about me, about you, about how God loves you, the way you are. I think the popularity of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, by the way, knowing the man and knowing how he would say, you know, I like you the way you are. I don't have a sweater on, so you don't believe me. But Mr. Rogers would say this to the kids over television, and they listened to it. And you know why they listened to it? Because it was coming from TV, and it was truth. God says the same thing in Jesus Christ. Here's where John is trying to get through to the people. And the question, what shall we do? How shall we act? How shall we live? Becomes pretty important, doesn't it? We ask if life's persistent question is the end. Well, like those New Testament folks, we seek answers, and sometimes we seek them from probably the wrong corners of the globe or the wrong conversation. We read blogs. We read self-help books and websites. And some people even go to seminars on how you can improve your life, your brain, your good thoughts. We talk to family or friends and we try to figure out sensible answers because we get bogged down with our own little cliches that just sort of suffocate us in our little corner. That's who John was talking to. Just like us. Just like us. John the Baptist gives some good answers for the holidays and really any day that you really face. Share with those who have less. Be fair. Be fair. Don't use power or insults to your own advantage to make you feel superior over someone else. Jesus of Nazareth, as John tries to tell us, gives more. He says it in this scripture. Jesus brings with him a power that you've never known, that Holy Spirit. And Jesus mentioned it himself. Don't count on me all the time. I'm going to empower you with something greater than me, and it's going to be an advantage for you that you can tap into anytime you want. Ask, and it shall be given. Can you imagine at Christmas time? How can I get through to people? How can I get through to people? Maybe like people, I need to get through to them the way they were, the way they've been, the way they've become. And isn't it wonderful that Christmas, God with us, becomes a very real, real word? Emmanuel, who gives not only answers to life questions, but the power to face them and to deal with them. And I think something that Jesus probably would have said with a smile. What shall we do? Who shall we be? What shall we become? With Christ? With Christ? Anything you want. God, we're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your mercy. We're grateful especially for what you've given us in Jesus Christ. Thank you watch over us, strengthen us, awaken us for Christ. Amen.